I started a series on the church, and if you look over here, this one fell off again. I can't, you know, we actually use such a good paint. Dave Smith got this paint for us, and it was such good paint that nothing will stick to it. And so I put the big square pieces of tape, and it's still falling off. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, you know, when I started that series last week, I thought, you know, it would be very easy to sit here and miss the point and think, okay, wait a minute, that's not really true. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, right? Amen? Well, we aren't saying that Jesus Christ isn't the hope of the world. We are the church, and we present Jesus Christ to the world. Now, it's very interesting because I got to thinking yesterday. I went to I helped with a memorial service with the gentleman. The kids go to church here, and her father passed away. And I thought, what if we didn't have the local church? What if the local church? What if God didn't give that to us? What if we just were kind of on our own? And I thought, wow, I wouldn't have been able to meet those people. When I gave an invitation, it wasn't a very big group, but out of that invitation, about 8 people raised their hand for salvation. They wouldn't have heard the gospel. You know, just stop and think about it for a minute. What if we didn't have the local church? What if we didn't meet here? You didn't know anybody. You never heard the word. And what would depend on you is to be able to get that Bible that's in the back window of the car with dust on it. You'd have to pull that out every day and try to read it. It would be a pretty tough thing without the local church. And so we are commissioned to reach our community for Christ and bring the hope, which is Jesus Christ, to our world. And I want to talk about that this week, and I'm probably going to go into it next week and the following week. And this week, I want to talk about war because we are in war in this world. The enemy of our soul is against us and throwing little fiery darts at us. And you know, when I think about that, do you ever find that to be true? That you're going along and you're living your Christian life, and all of a sudden it's almost like this little fiery dart comes out of the air and somehow hits you between the armor. Oh man, I just had one of those Friday, and I went into this tailspin, and I thought, what in the world is going on? And then I thought, wait a minute. I was open for that. I was open for that. And I realized that we are at war, that the evil one and his host are out to get you neutralized and not functioning as a Christian in guilt. And that's not what God wants for us. So we're going to mobilize and we're going to engage the enemy. And I want to say this is simply by us being the church. It is not the idea in war. Typically, when a battle happens, you know, we have a front and that kind of thing. That's not how God looks at it. God looks at it as you need to be the church. And we need to be the functioning church together. So here's what he says in Ephesians 3:8. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles or the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship or the dispensation or the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. And what he means there is that he brought upon through the apostle Paul that we as Gentiles can come to salvation. We can have direct access to God. And that's what he calls the mystery. And so here's his objective, his goal, to the intent, in verse 10, and that means goal or objective, to the goal that now the manifold or the comprehensive wisdom of God might be made known, or the information might be transferred by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. It is our job to let the evil ones know that we have Christ. It's pretty fantastic when you stop to think about it. You know, my mind went back just recently in my Bible reading. I'd gone through Hezekiah and the Syrians, and a representative from Hezekiah comes to Jerusalem, and he stands out in front, and he calls out to Israel and tells them, "Do not trust in your God." And let me just read this from 2 Kings 18:29. "Thus says the king of Assyria, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hands, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand, or this city shall not be given, or, I'm sorry. The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria." And so he's blaspheming God. He makes God mad when you stop to think about it. And what happens? He's out there. He's surrounded Jerusalem. He's ready to destroy it. And then he hears rumor that somebody is attacking him in Assyria, and he has to leave and go back to Assyria. And so Hezekiah doesn't lift a hand. All he does is pray. And we see in the same way in that today our accusers are telling you and I that we're sinners, that we're not worth it, that we have no value. And God wants us to tell them, oh yes, we do have value. We have value in whom? Jesus Christ. He's made us holy and blameless. And he's made us part of the church. And he wants the church to be able to stand up and talk to them and tell them. Because they're fighting a war. Now, but they've lost. Do you realize that? The evil ones and the host have lost. And so you think, well, why in the world would they keep fighting if they've lost? Well, let me see if I can illustrate that. I don't know if you guys ever played chess. All right, some of you played chess. I remember my next door neighbor was president of the chess club, and he taught me chess when I was pretty small, pretty young, because he was a lot older than me, and he'd cream me every time. And I think, how does he do that? It's just like 5 or 6 moves, and he has me in checkmate. And so I began to play chess, and pretty soon I got pretty good. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. As you play chess, you kind of know 3, 4, maybe even 5 moves ahead what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And you can look at the board, and pretty soon you think, uh-oh. If he makes the moves I think he's going to make, I'm dead. Have you ever been there in playing chess? And so I thought about that, and I thought, okay, now how did I handle it? Well, when I was in school and we would play chess, if I was the one losing, I didn't go down crying. Man, I put up the smoke. I would humiliate them. I would make them think they were losing rather than I was losing. And I would work on them. I would try to manipulate them. And sometimes I'd actually win the game because they would get so freaked out. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's exactly what Satan's doing in his host. They're trying to humiliate us. They're trying to manipulate us. He's trying to say, no, 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 you've lost. But he's lost. He's lost. They have lost the battle. And it's like unsportsmanlike conduct on their part. They are going to wear us down and make us ineffective, make us think we're losing, and make us concentrate on those things that don't count. And boy, do they know how to do it. As that arrow came in on Friday, my attitude got goofed up. I thought, man, how do they know that? How do they know that? We are to make God's wisdom known to them by our speech, by our lives, by the wisdom that God tells us we can repeat it back to them. They have lost, and God has won through his son, Jesus Christ. And at the end of this service, we're going to celebrate his death, because it was his death that created victory. He conquered death. And we've won because salvation isn't dependent on our behavior, is it? It is not dependent on our behavior, but that's the thing that the evil one would have us think. Oh, I can't believe I did that. I must not be saved. And so you know what I have to say to the evil one? Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. We won. Now, I say that just jesting because I'm telling you, I fear them as much as I fear God in my life. Because the evil one knows how to get to us. And I don't have to be unsportsmanlike just because they're unsportsmanlike. But we need to relish in the victory, don't we? We need to relish in the victory and the reconciliation. And we need to be a support to the ministry because God has established the church and asks us to be the church. And to be the church doesn't mean just to come, but it means involvement. You know, I met a former pastor this week in Costco. There's a section in Costco, if you've been there, where they have all the vegetables and stuff. It's this nice cold room. Okay, now, I know this for a fact, that all the women don't like going into that room, and all the men love going into that room. And I had just come in out of the warmth, and so I went in there, and so Debbie says, will you go in there and get some lettuce and, you know, carrots and that kind of thing? And then she goes off with the cart and gets away from that thing because she does not want to go in there because it gets her a little too cold. So I'm standing in there basking in the cold, you know, and grabbing the carrots and that kind of thing. And a former pastor, he used to pastor here in Brighton, came in, and we began to talk and chit-chat. And he began to reflect on the ministry, and he said, you know, it's very interesting, because he's out of the ministry right now. He says, it's very interesting being out of the ministry, because it's really given me a great time to reflect. And he says, Steve, I'm appalled at how off track the greater church is. How self-centered the church is, where they worry about whether we should put up a picture or not put up a picture, or whether the carpet needs cleaning, or whether we should be entertained, and whether the preacher preaches a good sermon or not. And he said the church of today has forgotten who they are, what they are, and what they're to do as the church. And I thought, man, he's exactly right. The church is not about you and me, is it? It's about the people in this community who need to come to know Jesus Christ. It means that we need to lay down our expectations and our ideas of entertainment and begin to think how God wants to use us. He wants us to soldier. We are to be the church. And we are at war with the evil one and his host. And we sometimes forget that, don't we? So I want to talk about that. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to go through how we prepare for war. And it's maybe a little bit different than how we would think it was if we were actually in the military. Satan does not want us to do what God has commissioned us to do. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. I remind myself of that almost every day, that he is out to get us to not do what God has called us to do. And he wants to trick every one of us into thinking everything else in life is important, right? Listen to Paul's instructions on preparation as we fight the enemy in battle. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong, be empowered in the Lord and in the power of his might. Or could even read like this. Finally, my brethren, be empowered in the Lord and in the strength of his strength. We are to be strong in him. How many times have you found that to be true in your life? How many times have you found yourself to the place you have to drop your head and say, Lord, I am powerless in this. I keep thinking I can do it, and I keep falling into the same trap. Give me the strength to let go of this. Help me not to fall into the same trap. God, I'm weak. Help me. Have you ever been there? And we do that by surrendering and renewing our mind like we talked about last week. And by recognizing that we already, now listen to me, recognizing that we already have the battle gear on. We just forget we have it on, okay? Verse 11, put on, and this is a one-time event, is the way the original has it, put on the whole or complete armor, weaponry of God. And I'm going to use the word weaponry rather than armor because it makes more sense to us. Put on the complete weaponry of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And the devil means slander. And the reason they give him slander is every time that you pull a boner in your life, Satan or his host goes up and accuses us. But you know what? Salvation isn't by work, so it doesn't matter. So God listens to it. And he accuses, but it does no good because it's not by works. And the question might be, do you feel undressed at times? Do you feel like you have no gear? And you feel defenseless against the enemy? And I know there are people here today who understand how to work with God. And then there's others of you who have no idea. And that's why you're here, to learn and to grow. And I'd encourage you to get into some of the classes so that you know how to stand up. But listen to verse 12. For we do not wrestle or fight or struggle against flesh and blood. I don't know, Lord. Sometimes it seems like it's all about the flesh. Sometimes it seems like it's all about what's real in front of us. It's hard for us. Isn't it hard for us? It's hard for us to see a spiritual world. He says, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, the world's strengths of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And the question might be, Steve, are you trying to tell me that the battle I'm fighting is not just in my head, but it's real, and outsiders are helping? Yes, that's what I'm saying, because that's what the Bible says. Yeah, I know they know how to get to us through idolatry. They know how to get to us through covetousness. They know how to get through all those little fiery darts that we are already weak in. It is our choice. And we have to remember we have the gear. And so he says in 13, therefore take up the whole weaponry of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, those hard days, and having done all or worked thoroughly to stand. Now let's go to verse 14. This is the armor, the weaponry. Stand therefore, having, and I'm going to add the word already, because in the original, everything has to happen before you can stand. And so I'm going to just keep adding the word already in here. Stand therefore, having already girded or encircled your waist or hip in truth. In other words, the belt of truth. We have the truth on our side. Stand having already put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have the breastplate of righteousness. You know that the Bible says that the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he makes you righteous. When God looks at us, it's like he has on colored glasses. He sees us as totally righteous through his son Jesus Christ. And so we have this breastplate of righteousness that guards our heart. 15. And stand, having already shod or tied down your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can be a witness of how that happened to you and share it to someone else. And in the process, learn how to share your faith and be able to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that lies in you, says in Peter. And then he says in 16, above all, stand, taking or having already taken up the shield of faith, the shield of trust, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts, the darts having set on fire, it says, of the wicked one. And so every one of us are going to have that time in our life where these darts come in. And he's going to throw them. And if we remember, we have the breastplate of righteousness. Bing. No problem. Bing. We hold up our shield of faith. But when we forget, the darts come in, don't they? 17. And stand, having welcomed the helmet of salvation. Now it says, and take the helmet of salvation. What it means is a past tense, is having welcomed the helmet of salvation. Now you've heard Clyde get up, and you've heard me get up, and a lot of times Clyde will get up and say, man, I've never got over my salvation. Have you heard that from him? Why is that? Because he welcomes the helmet of salvation. He remembers that God has us. And we have to remember that at any given time that we're in the heat of the battle and the arrows are coming at us, that we have salvation. We already have it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is one of two of the offensive weapons that we have, the Word of God. That's what we fight with. 18. Stand praying, and this is not already, this is actually the here and now. Stand praying always with all prayer and supplication. The supplication meaning requests or needs. In the Spirit, being watchful, staying awake to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, 18, believe it or not, in verse 18, praying according to the grammar is part of our armor. It'd be like the communicators that we have in the army. And it's an offensive weapon as well. We're to pray for each other. We're to hold each other up in prayer. We are to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. You know, as the worship team comes to take the stage for communion, and as the guys get up and help pass out, they're going to be passing out the Lord's Supper at this point. The question really becomes in our life, are you willing, after all that we're challenged with, to get into the battle where we belong? And when I say get in the battle, it is to stand. We don't have to go across to Thornton and set up a line of defense and start shooting at anybody that doesn't know Christ. That's not the battle. The battle is right here, being the church. The battle is to stand. Remember, we have the armor on. Remember, we have the Word of God, and we have prayer on our side and the shield of faith. And are you willing to get into the battle and be the soldier of hope that God has asked us to be, by standing strong in truth, in righteousness, preparedness with the gospel, faith to help defend ourselves, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer? It's a spiritual battle, not a flesh battle. And there's nothing to be afraid of. This does not mean that you're going to be looking at some spiritual world and fighting a battle in which the demons can get you. That's all fiction. We just do what God tells us to do. Stand. Is your